The Lord's given me this message, questions. And I know I was reminded in this message grad program, I had a whole course. And one of the things that impressed that class, the importance, probing question that the leader would kind of initiate about and produce the results. And I was also reminded of was being offered through the church. And it was the course was specifically a prayer ministry freedom. And one of the very important of that, of the specific probing questions, as a person that is probing the background, where they've come from, hopefully as those questions are probing and they begin to pose layers of this in their hearts and what is causing them to have those in their life. And so this is kind of the backdrop of what this morning. We're going to look at three questions that God, He has you in our life to bring us to that place He wants us to be. Let us pray. Father God, I praise you and your word, this word that you have. Lord, my prayer is, Lord, that the words I speak would not be, but Lord, that they would directly. I pray, Lord God, that our hearts would be soft, pliable, ready. I pray, Lord God, that this transform and change, Lord, the same. That, Lord, we would be afresh through this message, Lord, that's what you have, and Lord God. So we want to look at this morning at three occasions in Scripture where questions given. And the first one, if we can turn to Genesis 3 and verse 9. Genesis 3 says, then the Lord called to Adam, to him, probably all remember this very scripture, where are you, Adam? And when probably, if you're like me, you first saw that question, is why is God asking where Adam is? Isn't God the omniscient, the omnipresent, the omnipotent God? Doesn't God see all things? So why that God is asking the very question when He probably knows exactly where Adam is? He knows all things. So what is really this question referring to? Obviously, God was not asking ignorance or that He was wondering that Adam is somehow hidden from God, because we all know that none of us can hide from God. Amen? There's no place that we can hide from God. God sees all things, over all things. And so what was happening? God rather was acting like a parent would do to a disobedient child. How many of us as parents would ask this question? We knew what our kid did already, right? We knew the answer already, but we were trying to what? We were trying to get an answer, get a confession from our child, right? By asking that question, because we knew. But we wanted them to acknowledge, that we wanted them to come to that place to acknowledge what they did wrong. You see, it's the ever nature of our God, our Father God, to seek us out. God is always seeking out the lost. He's always seeking out us of his children to bring us closer, to bring us to that place, encounter Him. He's always initiating those encounters with us, His children, in this world. To remember the prodigal story, the prodigal son, and how the father was leaving him back, and when he came back, he went out to our father. And then we also remember the parable of the lost sheep. God would leave what? The 99 go after the one lost. And so that is our God. That is the God we serve. That is the God our creator. He is the one who initiates. He's the one that searches, seeks. And so we need to see that this question, is really to us about our position. It's not our position in God. Recognizing that it is our position in Christ that is the most important for us. And I know from my experience in the ministry that when I, it is this very thing where our, it separates the Christian who is up and down, who is wavering, is not living, they overcome, as those that don't understand their position in Christ, what Christ has done, and that they are settled, that they are positioned in Christ, seated Him in heavenly places. Really, this is said, where are you? Have you heard God? Are you growing in your faith and your knowledge and your walk with Him? God will, to get us to be a more aware of. And Adam's response to this question is found in verse 10. And he said, in response, what did Adam do and why? Many times those probing questions will get to an area of our heart that is not pleasant, that is not pleasing. And many times this is the nature of fallen man, nature of that fallen that we are all born with, that wants to hide from the presence of God, wants to hide because of sin. And you know, just like Adam, to people, hide from God's conviction, hide from God's probing to their hearts. Where are you? You see, instead of not acknowledging what he did, the mistake that he made, he tried to hide. And we know the story that he took some fig leaves and tried to hide his physical nakedness. But that was not the problem. The problem was heart is exposed. Where are you? Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6 says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly. This is what God did for each and every one of us who are Christians. What is our position? Our position is simply this, that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. Two important points here, that we are in Christ. That is our position. And we need to understand that. To the degree that we understand our position in Christ, to the degree we overcome the things of this world, the temptations, the problems of life, to the degree that we are not earthly bound, but we in Christ, where? In heavenly places. Praise God that we are in heavenly places. In other words, when we are truly understand our position, that we are in Christ and that we're not bound by the things of earth. We're be able to overcome the temptations of this world, the human and problems of this world. Because when we are truly seated, we truly understand that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. It's not that they disappear. It's not that they're going to hit us, rise above. We need to seat ourselves. And from that place, from that vantage point, from that position where we gain that fortitude, firm in our faith, to remain firm, the power that God has given us. It's only in that place, seated in Christ in heavenly places, when we stay there and take that power that God has given us, can overcome everything. And so I want to quickly, in context of this question that God asked Adam, where are you? The context of this, if you remember, is found in Genesis. First of all, in Genesis 2, verse 9, and out of the ground the Lord God made a tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. And then Genesis 2 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you see, there were two trees in the Garden of Eden that God spoke about. And he particularly, there were many trees. But within those two, that garden, there were two trees that, and they were put there, obviously, for a purpose. And there was one prohibition. There was a prohibition against this, the fruit of the good and evil. And, you know, and we know that they took that fruit, gave it to Adam, and Adam, instead of obeying of that fruit. And as a result of that, we know that sin entered into all of mankind, that fallen nature was passed on from Adam and every one of us who are born. And the same two trees, the challenges challenge us today. And, you know, even as we become Christians, these very challenges that are posed by these two here quick do not end. They do not go away. So what do these two trees represent? These two trees represent spiritual lineages, trees. And we know that the Bible speaks of that there's a lineage that of those who follow after Satan, who go. We know that the fallen angels know Satan, and we know that there are those that follow after. And then we also know that there's another lineage, and that speaks of us, believers. And so we have these two. And everything that we see going on in this world comes down to these very two trees represent sin. And today the battle is between light and darkness, between these two lineages, Satan and his king, Christ. And so there was this test that was presented to Adam and Eve in the garden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil put there. It was put in the center of the garden. When you think of this, think of that this tree truly represents that self-centered fallen, that I can do it. I can solve problems. I can live my life the way that I want it, and no one else can tell me. And so ultimately, this tree was put before Adam and Eve to test their obedience. And every one of us today, as we wake up in the morning, that there will be tests before us every day to test our obedience. of which are we going to choose? Are we going to choose life that's found in the tree of life, which is Christ? Or are we going to choose that which the enemy for us, temptation, weaknesses that we are all born with? They're there in our old nature. But what are we going to choose to focus on? What are we going to choose to allow to be in our life? And so Adam's response, instead of saying, Lord, here I am, I failed. And that is so much like people today. They are afraid. They're afraid to be exposed. They're afraid to allow God to expose their hearts. And so what they do is they try to put down, they suppress. And that is the biggest problem in the world today of God, this spiritually. But we know that as God asked Adam, and he tried to hide, that God then took an animal. Blood was shed for that. Blood was shed for that covering, which speaks of our covering, ultimate covering. His blood was shed covering for us. So this question really relates to our position and should provoke each and every one of us. And ultimately, from this question, this probing question in our lives, it should get us to the place we honest look at. Are we truly seated in heavenly places? Are we living from that place today, brother? So that we can overcome any. The second question God can. In Genesis 32, 27. So he said to him, what is your name? Second question that he is what? And again, your name is Kevin. Sylvia. But no, what is he? Any of us know in the Bible times, he's had many times families and asked God, what would they call their child? What should they? And so we know that Jacob, the Old Testament, he had some kids. Amen, don't we all? And if you remember Jacob, that he was one of the problems that he had, it was a deceiver. He just seemed to always fall into, and that's what his name really meant. And how his name really showed that what was manifest in his life. And so we come to this point here in Genesis 32. 24 to 26. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for that will not you bless. And so Jacob was left alone, and then all of a sudden confronted. And as a result of this wrestling, that Jacob was struck, that he was left with this out of joint. This is a very significant thing for us. You know, here, if we look at this, this was actually Jacob. Has anyone ever wrestled? Anyone ever thought about wrestling with God? You know, when you first think about this, you're like, with God, or is that even kosher? We have Jacob, who was wrestling with it, was actually God. He was wrestling with God, and he was persistent. He would not give up because he wanted a blessing. And I believe that he knew Jacob came to his heart, and that he wanted to, and that there's only one way, the one that God wanted with God, and he wouldn't have been like this. That things in your life just seemed like there's things that cannot be removed. Or been struggling for time and time and time, and just like felt like struggle with God. I remember times in my life I was with God because of a challenge of my faith, because circumstance that I just began to cry out to God, and I to question. I did not seem right, or discouragement, God. And I remember those times, and I remember it, just like Jacob, I got to that point where by the end of that wrestling, I was and I felt like small when God began to speak and point out areas of my life as I was humbled, as that came upon me. And I began out of that wrestling not a bad thing. Make sure that do wrestle with God, that God allows. Make sure it's not, if you're going to wrestle with God, make sure it's not done in rebellion. Make sure you do it like Jake. There's a wrestling with God because you know that something is. And ultimately, as a result of this, what happened? That Jacob's name was changed. And so as a result of this encounter, as a result of that wrestling with God, his nature, not only was his nature, his character was to reflect what? And so too, all of us, God will give us a new name that will reflect who we are. And Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me. So Lord, become who will not let God go until that deep work starts. Every one of us starts. Amen? Anyone agree with me that there's a deeper work that God, and as we wrestle with God, God desires us because he knows that at the end of that, that not only were our nature, but the promises that will give us. I love Genesis 3:30 says, so Jacob called that name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life preserved. That's what happens when we come face to face with God, when we wrestle with God with the issue, and really there are the issues in our hearts, when we allow God to deal in our heart, in our nature, in our character. The promise is that we see him face to face in our life. How many of us want our life spiritually preserved today? Wrestle, allow God in your heart. And so in response to this, Revelation 2:17 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him. The promise is for those who are overcomers will have. I love what David said in Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. That is the promise to us. And then we come to the third question. What will you do? In the parable of the loaves of bread and the feeding of the 5,000, which is found in John 6, verses 5-30. In verse 5, it says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these... In other words, what he was saying here is, will you do? What will you do, Philip? Here the Lord of heaven, the one that supplies all things, was asking Philip, what will you do? Supply. And probably Philip, like any of us, would have said, wait a minute, Lord, 5,000? Yeah, right. I have meager resources. And we know from the story, what did the disciples, did they do? First of all, they said, well, out. Send the people to go get their... And then after that, well, send us out. Well, in other words, we're going to run away from... This is a big mistake. But no, God says, what will you do? And many times that's like us. You know, we're confronted with situations where it's beyond our resources. It's beyond our means. We feel like so inadequate, like me. We see the problems of this world and we feel inadequate. We feel like we don't ourselves have the... Perhaps in your life today, thinking of these multitudes, that there's a multitude in your own life that you're facing and you're wondering, where are the resources? I don't have them. And God's asking you, what do you have your own hands? You see, like the disciples, we focus on our own limitations, forget who. We forget that we are seated with Christ where? Not here on this earth, not in our limited... We are seated in Christ where? In heavenly places, where there are full resources to carry on anything that God asks us to carry on. But yet, so often we say, Lord, we own... And as a result, patience, our own resources. But you know, God is saying, what do you... And I believe that God is speaking to us through this question, that many times he'll ask us to get us to focus. We have a choice. Do we focus on our own? Do we focus on our own self? What's worked in the past? Or are we say, Lord, I am seeing you in heavenly places, and therefore I know that. And so our response should be, Lord, here, I give what I have to you. Lord, now, 5 loaves and 2 fish, 7 in God. And so with these 5 loaves and 2, God is saying that in your meager things you have the tasks that you need to do. Don't look at within ourselves, because we will undermine what God... And so the challenge to us is to look in all things and give it over to him. Surrender ourselves and allow him. What question, where are you? Do you have an upward vision speaking to you for those things? Are you growing in the wisdom? And what is your spiritual name? Are you allowing God to his? Every day we wake up and we have the opportunity to take Jesus with us and to be to make changes in this world. Bring forth his... What will you... You know, Jesus, the Lord gave us Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible is wonderful, and it's a... But, you know, even his word is not... You know, we can read his word, we can study his word, but ultimately to sow that word, to make that word alive within us. You know, there's many divisions because people have only looked at the word. They've focused on succumb to that tree. They've left the Spirit of God out and allowing that the word of God to be quickened, to become alive in us. And so many times we fail, we succumb to, and we wonder why we're not where we should. Only this. And so this is the challenge place spiritually. He wants us to bless. He wants us to be all. What is your name? Speaking of our, what is God speaking? He has. And his spiritual name speaks of that. And to give to God, he can multiply. Allow God to today and be open to move you spiritually, to grow. Father God, I that these questions, that, Lord, that potentially in every one of us today, in the Lord, may we have ears to probe us. Lord, may we not be satisfied with status, but Lord, that these questions of our hearts through our wrestling, Lord God, may we be all. Lord, let us not be like Adam and hide behind our problems, but Lord, may we open the word of God that is speaking, that is probing, that is questioning to get us to move from this place a greater. Lord, may we be doers, and Lord, as we wrestle with you, allow you to probe us, all overcome.